God bless you.
I keep myself leashed to the, so I don't walk too far. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah. That's not one you hear often. While you're looking that up, I was thinking about it because when I sit in service, first service with Pastor Sam, I'm not a morning person, and I'm normally kind of tired, and so I was thinking about it. A lot of you guys probably worked today, and you're tired, and then you come in here, and you sit, and these seats give you a big purple hug, and I have seen people fall asleep when I have taught for Sam, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. What I was thinking about is like a few weeks after I was ordained, so they had just ordained me into ministry, and I'm sitting in first service with Pastor Sam, and the final prayer, and I'm fast asleep. And I vaguely heard the part, you know, where Sam says, if you want to receive the Lord, raise your hand. All I heard was, raise your hand. So my hand starts to go up, and I'm mostly asleep at this point, and Sam had just ordained me, and I'm now a pastor, and I caught it right about here and kind of did the So, kind of embarrassed, I went up to Sam later because I had to know what he thought, and fortunately, he actually didn't notice, but I told him, and he just laughed, and he was like, well, the Lord gives his loved ones rest, and then he was like, you know, we ordained you, you might as well get saved, so... So to say, I understand if you fall asleep, because I can't fault you. Well, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wow. This is a neat passage because it represents the Jews' restoration back to the land, back from their... Well, they had walked in sin. They had rebelled against God. And they had, you know, endured the consequences of that rebellion. And as they were brought back into the land, God was promising them this promise. And we'll look at that here in some detail in a little bit. But we need to realize that all of us have gone astray. I so often look at the Jews and go, what were they thinking? You know, what possibly could they have been thinking to rebel against God? And then God reminds me of me. And my life, and that I have rebelled, and that I need to be restored. And then being restored, this verse is my verse. And this verse is for me. And if you've been restored, if you are saved, if you are living in the joy of the Lord, this verse is your verse. And we can look forward to eternity with our God, to the loving embrace that He has for us in the life to come, and also in this life as we go through the ups and downs. Well, I was thinking, you're either here tonight and you're basically in one of two camps. You are here because you are excited about Jesus. He is your Savior. He died for you. He rose from the grave, and you are excited about that. And you're here and you're just excited to learn, to grow, to connect, to worship. Because Jesus is your Savior. Or you're in rebellion tonight. And that could mean that you've never given your life to the Lord. And tonight I would love for you to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Could also mean that you are saved, but you are in rebellion still. You aren't walking with Him and for Him. Jesus said that if you love me, obey me. Are you obeying tonight. Because obedience equals, well, a joy with the Lord that is indescribable. God doesn't want us to just pray a prayer and live religion. God doesn't want us to just go through the motions of ceremony or just even song. But that He rejoices in obedience more than sacrifice. That great picture that He desires us just to obey Him, which simply boiled down means to love Him and to love people. Because He doesn't want just a religion. He wants a relationship. He wants a love relationship with each one of us. So which camp are you in tonight? Are you following Jesus with a passion? Or are you in rebellion? I don't know. But what I do know is that we want to be in the camp that we're following Jesus. We're enjoying His presence. Because, well, it's better to be with Jesus than anywhere else. Let's pray, you guys. Heavenly Father, You are amazing. Lord, You present us continually with opportunities to obey, opportunities to draw close. Lord, let tonight be another one of those opportunities for each one of us. That anybody in here who doesn't know You as their personal Savior would give their life to You, that You would work in their hearts in such a way that they would see how amazing You are. Lord, if there's anybody here that is just in rebellion, but they are Yours, convict them, Lord, that they would walk rightly with You from this point on. And Lord, for those that are just enjoying You and excited about this life with You, through the ups and downs, they're following You. Lord, fill them with Your Holy Spirit afresh, anew. Jesus, be in our midst tonight. Comfort us with Your love. Rejoice over what goes on in here this evening, Lord. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Well, Sam asked me to give my testimony, and that makes me nervous because I'm so awesome. It's like, what do I talk about? No, I'm kidding. Sorry. No, because I know we like to talk about ourselves, but then when you're put on the spot, you get a little nervous. And well, so I've been thinking a lot about it and about my life and about the different things. And so I'm going to start when I was 3 months old. No. I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 5 years old. I was just a little guy. But I remember it so clearly. My mom was a very godly woman, and she loved Jesus with all of her heart. And one day we were in the truck on the ranch that I grew up on, and I remember exactly where we were. We were out by the back pens where we would do the brandings and all that stuff you do with cattle, and we were sitting there, and I was asking her questions. Questions about Jesus. I can't imagine her joy at that moment. And she shared. And then she challenged me and asked me if I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. And I understood at that moment that I was a sinner, even at five. That I needed a Savior. That I needed Jesus. And so there, in the truck, on the ranch, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And it's always stuck with me. Because it wasn't just a prayer or a ceremony. It was the real deal. And that's what I want you guys to have here today. Is that we never get caught in religion, but we get caught up in Jesus. Well, I pretty much grew up in the church because because of my mom and dad. And there was this old cowboy by the name of Jesse Cale. He was a horse trainer. And when I got a little rowdy, me and my brother, he would crack our heads together. So needlessly to say, I learned to pay attention in church. He always sat behind us. I don't know about you, but we have our favorite seats and we kind of tend to sit there. I do, and sometimes I show up a little late and somebody's in my seat. Well, that was the way, and Jesse Cale would always sit behind us and he would bunk our heads together. And so I learned to pay attention in church. And I know that was the Lord, because not that his method was necessarily right, but that what it produced was a good thing. Because I paid attention and I learned. And I grew in the Lord, even as a little guy. I participated in the church plays and the church events. And it wasn't a very big church. And so they probably didn't have any other kids to pick from. But, you know, we were happy, my family, to participate and to be a part of the church. I remember as a little guy sitting in the back of church with my mom, and the pastor had given an opportunity for people to share. And it was the first time I could remember that God truly asked me to step out and do something for him. And I don't remember how old I was, but I wasn't very big. And I remember my heart was racing, and I thought I was going to die. But I knew God was saying, just raise your hand and say that you're thankful that I'm in your life. I just knew. God wants me to say that I'm thankful that he's in my life. And I was terrified. But I raised my little hand and I said that, and the peace of God washed over me as I obeyed. As we learn that when we obey, God pours out, and it's so indescribable, his peace. I wish I could say that I always obeyed. I wish I could say that every time God asked me to do something, that I did it. Well, that's not the case. But man, I am thankful today that God is in my life. I am thankful today that he has never let me go. Even in times where I was mad at him, he held on and said, you can be mad, but I love you and I'm not letting you go. I look back at my life and I see God giving me choices. Choices to obey. Choices to choose the right thing. Whatever it was he was presenting in front of me. In high school, I had, an opportunity for ministry. My brother rodeoed, and it was right before I started rodeoing, but we were at a week-long rodeo, a high school state finals rodeo, and there was a rodeo preacher there, and so we would do Bible studies during the day, and on the Saturday, I guess the last week, the words aren't working. The Saturday and Sunday, that Saturday, the rodeo minister was like, hey, I need somebody to do the invocation. Just a simple prayer after the national anthem. And I knew instantly God was like, Justin, you're the guy. Once again, I was terrified. My heart was racing. And I didn't respond quickly to God's call. And I was miserable. And I battled it. And finally I gave in and I said, all right, Lord, I'll obey. And once again, the peace of God washed over me. Well, I was terrified the next day. And I gave a prayer that probably wasn't very clear because I was so nervous. But I prayed, and I prayed over the rodeo grounds, over the loudspeaker. And God started something that day. And I knew that was going to be my ministry as I rodeoed. That rodeo is just part of the equation. But my real, purpose for rodeo was to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And so as I rodeoed in high school, I rode bucking horses. And I should probably say they rode me because I wasn't very good. And I was underneath them probably more than I was on top of them. But I had a lot of fun. And I got to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I got to pray, and I'd go to a rodeo. And I'd take a deep breath and I'd know, all right, Lord, And I'd have to ask, hey, can I give a prayer after the national anthem? And you know, cowboys are fairly crusty people. And they'd look at me like, you want to do what? And every rodeo, I had to be faithful to go and ask. And they never turned me down, no matter how odd they thought I was. And I knew people were watching. I knew people were watching me and my attitude. Because it's not just about our words, it's about our life. And so when the horse would sling me into the ground and run me over, and you know, they were watching to see what this praying kid would do. And I'd get up with a big dopey grin and flick the sand out of my teeth and walk back and hopefully want to get on another, you know? I did enjoy it. My brother, although he was very good, my brother went on to pro rodeo. My mom didn't want me to, for obvious reasons. I think she was afraid for my life. But the Lord used that time to shape me, to strengthen me, to give me boldness, to stand up for Him. Even when it wasn't popular, even when it wasn't cool, even when people were looking at me like, well, what are you doing? And I didn't throw it in their face. I wasn't arrogant about it, but just an opportunity to pray. And the Lord opened up for me a chance with the we had cowboy church at the rodeo grounds. And I got to be a part of that and share some verses here and there. And I knew in high school, you know, they'll ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up and all that stuff. And I remember writing down being a rodeo preacher. Well, God knew. God knew that would work out. Not necessarily in the rodeo arena, but with junior hires, so it's just about as bad. I mean, you're welcome. No, God is good. God is good, you guys, and He gives us choices. Choices to obey. I know we all can look back at our lives and go, man, I see clear choices. And sometimes we go, oh, man, I chose poorly. And sometimes we look back and go, man, that was the best choice. I've made some pretty rough choices. You know, even being a believer, not all of my decisions were the best, but God was faithful to convict me. I always wondered why I could never get away with anything. I was caught. I was always caught. I was like, it didn't matter. It could be, there was nobody around and I'd do something and I'd get caught. I'm like, how'd you find out? You know? And it was because God was looking out for me. And He loved me too much to let me get away with stuff. So if you're here today and you feel like you're that person, you're like, I've always been caught. You know? I can't get away with anything. Good. You know? That means God loves you and He's looking out and He says, I'm not going to let you get away with that. At least not for very long. Before I convict, before I correct you. He disciplines those that He loves. And so now I've learned that when I sin and God disciplines me, I say, ouch, and Lord, thank you for loving me. Because it is a sign of love. Just like when you discipline your children, you're doing it out of love, or you should be. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He can't bear to look down and see us struggle. He can't bear to watch us sin and suffer. So He gives us choices. And I love that He gives us choices. That we're not just robots. That we didn't just turn our life over to Him and then we just let go. And well, no. He gives us choices. And we need to be keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ and looking at Him and following Him. So that those choices will be godly. Not everything we do as Christians is of the Lord. And we need to weigh everything at the cross. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, so that we can stay on track. I also look at my life and not only do I see choices, but I see pain. I can look over my life and I can see struggles and pain and the death of grandparents. And the death of my mom. My mom passed away before I met my wife. And that's hard for me. She wasn't at my wedding. That my wife doesn't get to go make cookies and laugh. And my mom was a woman of joy. And that brings great pain. But in the midst of the loss of loved ones, I see Jesus and I trust Jesus. Probably the greatest pain that I've ever experienced was my wife and I were trying to adopt. And not to go into the whole story, but the adoption went bad and he was removed from our home and he's my son. And my heart is broken and I still wake up sometimes weeping. But in the midst of it, there is Jesus. Jesus never promised that this life would be easy, but he did promise that he would be with us. He would be with us to help us with the choices. He would be with us to help us through the pain. And if you're here today and you're at a crossroads and you know there's a choice that needs to be made, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Don't just arbitrarily pick things. After I had met Lisa, the Lord had brought me back to a closer relationship with him by that time. And I'm trained in firefighting and I have a stack of certificates and all that stuff and a degree in fire technology. And I was like, man, do I become a firefighter or do I go into the ministry? In the missions, and I had a pastor tell me, not a pastor at this church, but a pastor tell me, just pick one and it'll work out. And I was like, I'm not okay with that. You know, I can't just pick one. That doesn't make any sense to me. And so I prayed, and one day during worship, I wasn't even praying about it. God just spoke to me. I had a choice to make. And he was faithful to answer. Obviously, he said ministry. Our God is good, and I've never regretted that decision. I still like fire. I mean, you know what I mean. You know, in the firefighting sense. But our God is good. Our God is so good. Maybe you're here today and you're in a situation, not a choice, not a crossroads of a decision, but maybe you're here and there's just pain in your heart. Know that God is with you. And I can look at the situations in my life and especially the situation with my son, that God was with me and we both know it. And we both trust the Lord and we know that his will was done. As hard as that is to say, we trust. So if you're in a place of pain today, turn to the Lord. However that situation came about, turn to the Lord now. And trust him. Give the situation to him and obey. And follow Jesus. Even though this life is not easy, Jesus is always with us. And his promise is always true that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I say that scripture a lot because it means a lot to me. Because he's never left me. There was a point in time where I was extremely angry at God. And I was driving down the road and I was yelling at God. I was mad. And I was listening to music that was inappropriate. And I was mad. And I told God, I know who you are and I don't care. And God spoke to me and said, do you mean it? As audibly as we would have a conversation, God said, Justin, do you mean it? And that broke my heart. Because as mad as I was, he's my Savior. And he challenged me. He didn't just say, fine, I'm done with you too. He didn't say, oh, well, okay, so you're mad, so there's the door, you know? He confronted me. I don't remember much of the drive after that. But I switched the station to K-Love. I repented quickly. And I wept before the Lord. If you're at that place today, repent. God's not going to let you go, no matter how hard you fight or squirm. Sometimes I picture myself like that little three-year-old that's just spazzing. You know? And God just holds on tight and says, I love you. I love you. Know that God loves you today. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And that is why he came and died on the cross, taking our shame, our punishment, and he rose from the grave because death couldn't hold him. Because he had never sinned. And he offers us everlasting life. Don't let that ever become common to you. If it's become common to you tonight, man, I challenge you. I challenge you to refresh your relationship, to get excited about Jesus Christ. There is joy in Jesus, not in the hard times, but in Jesus Christ, because he's with us through the hard times. In the midst of all that life brings, God's with us, and he's calling us to serve. To not give up, to not lay down, but just to keep following him. And that's hard. That's hard. Sometimes I don't want to come and teach because I'm broken. But there's a blessing when I do. Sometimes you may not want to go to work and be nice to that guy in, you know, the office next door, the whatever it is. But we're called to get up and shine the light of Jesus. Because he loves us. Because he died for us. Because he rose from the grave. There's always something we can find joy in. There's always something that we can take and smile about. And the world will look at you and go, what's wrong with you? I know your world just fell apart. And we can go, I got Jesus. Yeah, I'm broken, but I got Jesus. Or, man, I know you have a decision to make. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I challenge you to obey, to follow. My ministry here at Calvary Chapel started about 8 years ago. And it started in the 3- and 4-year-olds. I was all pumped up because I knew I was called to be a pastor. And God said, go teach the 3- and 4-year-olds. You know what? That was an amazing time for me. It's actually cool because some of our 3- and 4-year-olds are now in our junior high group. You know, it's come full circle. And I got pictures upstairs with them, you know, on my lap. And they're this big. And, you know, now they're big and smelly. And so you're welcome. And so the thing is it's exciting. But the 3- and 4-year-olds was a great time that God taught me, you know? And that's where I needed to start. And we would do a little Bible study, and we would sing worship songs, and we'd get all the kids around. And I think we had sometimes we'd have like 30 kids in our class, 3- and 4-year-olds. And that's the greatest age, because you just go there, lay on the floor, and go, and they just fall on you, and they're your best friend, you know? If you don't understand why the little kids won't connect with you, it's probably because you're standing, you know? And it was so exciting. I loved it. And it was hard when God moved me from that ministry. There's still, that age is still my favorite, or one of my favorites. Because they're just so real. And of course, God has landed us in the junior high. And about the last, you know, 7 years I've been on staff. And I've been serving in the junior high and the Lord has been so evident in the ministry and in my life and I get to serve with my beautiful bride. And it's such a joy to follow the Lord and to know you're where he wants you to be. So I'd encourage you guys to pray about where God wants you, and maybe you're right where you're at. And there's not a thing you need to change. Praise God. Maybe you pray today and you go, wow, there's some tweaking that I need to do. Or I need to start serving here. I need to stop serving here. Or I need to start a Bible study with my children. Or I need to memorize verses with my family. Or I need to be bolder at work. Whatever it is, God will make it clear to you. God's constantly speaking to me. I get to a place and I think, I got this down. I've been doing the junior high. I mean, how many camps? I mean, we've done so many camps. And I start to think, I got this. And then something happens and I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. You know? But what a joy. What a joy in all the struggles in ministry. Because I know I'm where God wants me. I know God has put me here. He created me a little juvenile, and that helps. Just so you know, God has a sense of humor. You know, we don't serve a dry God, you know. So many people think, I'll become a Christian. I can't have any fun. God's funny. I mean, look at my hair, you know. What's with that little patch right there, you know? That's what I'm talking about, you know. God's funny. The thing is we need to find joy in life. A little Rogaine. I know, the kids call it my island, you know. I was growing my goatee out there for a while, and I was telling him I was going to grow it real long so I could wrap it around. The ultimate comb over. My wife loved that, by the way. She said, that's the look. Well, I'm excited about serving the Lord. I'm excited about ministry. I mean, I'm excited about the retreat we have coming up with the junior hires. And I'm excited about teaching, and I'm excited about leading worship, and I'm excited about all the different activities we get to do in the weekend. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be excited. We don't have to be excited about everything. There are things I don't like, you know. I don't really like paying the bills. I know I need to. I mean, so there's things in life that we may not like to do, but we do. But for the most part, we need to be finding things in the Lord that we enjoy. If you're serving and you don't enjoy where you're serving, stop serving there. Find somewhere else. Because if you're not having fun, I'm sure the people around you aren't having any fun, you know? It's kind of cool because I get to be a part now of, we're starting the college age ministry back up. Me and another guy, Jonathan, here in the church, and we started Thursday nights, and hopefully soon, when Sam gets back, we're going to pray about starting like a Sunday night service, kind of like this, but Sunday night, and I'm excited about that. I didn't think I had any time before, but God was like, hey, squeeze this in, you know? But I'm excited about it. It's also neat because a lot of our first junior hires are now 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And so not only are my junior hires, or my 3- and 4-year-olds are coming into the junior high, but now my junior hires are coming to the college group, and I get just to be a part of their lives. They can't get rid of me, you know? But through the decisions, through the hardships, our God is good. And our God is faithful. And I can see Jesus guiding me. And sometimes I'm like, where are we going? He'll tell me later, you know? But I'm excited. I've been married for a little over 10 years now to the most incredible woman. And I just say that because I treasure her. And she is a big part of my testimony. Husbands, treasure your wives tonight. Find joy in them. Don't ever let your wife become common to you. Find joy. Go on dates. Have sleepovers with each other, you know? Send the kids to grandma's house and pull the bed out into the living room and watch movies and giggle. Seriously. Find joy in your spouse. Because it is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And that there needs to be joy there. Our hearts should flutter when we see them. And we need to choose to love, choose to obey, choose to serve our spouses. Not that everything is perfect. In fact, the first 6 months to a year of Lisa and my marriage was rough. We actually fought a lot. Funny thing is, we fought over doctrine. We'd get in just passionate debates over things in the Bible because I grew up in a denomination that believed you could lose your salvation. And Lisa grew up, well, here in Calvary. I got to be honest, she was a little smarter than me, and that intimidated me. She's still a little smarter than me, and that's, you know. But we would fight over that stuff. And yeah, we didn't handle it right. But we loved each other, and we weren't willing to let it go. God finally got a hold of me, showed me the truth through His Word. Revealed to me that nothing can separate me from God. Revealed to me that nothing I can do, nothing you can do, nothing anything or anyone can do can remove me from His hand. Well, now we fight over which way the toilet paper roll should go. I'm just kidding. It is funny, though, when you're married, what things you fight over, right? Don't let the enemy get into your marriage that way. Find joy. Choose to love. Well, our God is faithful to be with us. I hope you are experiencing the faithfulness of God. I hope you are experiencing the joy of God. As I spent this time just kind of looking over my life and deciding what was important to talk about it. It's hard. It's hard to take your life and sum it up. And I apologize if I was a little scattered, but I look back and I see the choices. And I see God being faithful to be with me, to guide me, to correct me, to lead me, to love me. And that's why I love this verse in Zephaniah. It's been written on the mirror in our bathroom with one of those dry erase pens. It's kind of a cool thing. You can leave your spouse notes, by the way, on the mirror. Draw them really bad pictures and, you know, tell them you love them. Bad as in bad art, I mean. And so the thing is it's been written on the mirror. And it wasn't until a couple weeks ago that I'd been reading it and kind of seeing it, and there it was. And then I read it, and all of a sudden it was like, bam! God's like, check this out. And so I've been kind of geeking out on this verse for a few weeks. Zephaniah 3:17. And really, what it means to me as a believer, to me as one who has come back to the Lord, one who has rebelled, and I've known it, and come back. I've rededicated my life several times. You know, in eighth grade, I clearly remember God saying, hey, step up. You need to become closer to me. In college, even as a newlywed, God will use those times in our lives to draw us closer to Him. And that's what this verse is all about. It's for us. That are His, that are back in the land, that are close to Him. Man, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The word for Lord is Yahweh, which is the, if you will, official name of God. The self-existent one, eternal. He has no beginning and no end. When Moses asked, who should I say sent me? God said, I am that I am. I'm existing. I am Yahweh. So the Lord your God, Yahweh, Adonai. Nope, it's not Adonai. My brain just spazzed. It's Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. Which is God plural. Not that we serve many gods, but that we serve the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord your God, the eternal one, the complete one, the almighty one, the three in one God. Man. The Lord your God, being very specific, very clear, in your midst. That's talking about being not just He's around. Have you seen God today? You know, it's not that He kind of breezes by, but He's in our midst. He's in the very center of where we're at, our hearts, our lives, our families. And hopefully that encourages you, because that excites me, that my God is with me, and He's in my midst. He's here. I don't have to go looking for Him. No, the Lord your God, the self-existent one, the eternal God, is right here with me. That's exciting, and that's cool. The Lord your God, in your midst. He is close. Which reveals to us that He wants to be a part of every aspect of our lives. That He wants to guide, direct, encourage, to participate in everything we do. That's cool. The Mighty One. I mean, that alone is awesome. The Mighty One. In Psalm 24:8, we read, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Mighty One. We don't serve a weak God. We don't serve the God of the sun or the God of the harvest or the moon or no, we serve the Mighty One. The Almighty One. Compromising and serving the creation, but we're serving the Creator, the Mighty One, will save. I love that because it doesn't say that He wants to save. He's going to try really, really hard. It doesn't say that he's just hoping He can do it. No, he will save. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will save. He will save. That's pretty cool. The Lord your God, in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Who's rejoicing here? God. That's cool. I mean, we often rejoice and we worship and we're excited, but this tells us that when we repent, that when we come to Him, God rejoices. That He's rejoicing over us and has joy because we are drawing close to Him. That's cool. That we can make God rejoice. Well, and then He says, He will quiet you with His love. Does life ever feel out of control? Well, of course it does. But God quiets us not with His mighty hand of discipline. It doesn't say here that He quiets us with the long lecture. He doesn't quiet us with no, He quiets us with love, which is patience and kindness and forgiveness. Man, that's amazing. We're told to be still, and God says, be still and know that I am God. To reflect on these things. When the life is out of control, or gets out of control, we reflect on passages like this, and we go, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I'm going to focus, because you are the mighty one. You can save. You are in my midst, and you're rejoicing over me. And he will quiet us with his love. And then that last little verse says, he will rejoice over you with singing. The word for rejoice actually means to twirl about violently. You know, that God just isn't kind of like, woo, there they are, you know. But God's like, wow, man. And I'd spin, but I'm kind of wrapped. And so the thing is God's excited, and he's dancing, and he's spinning, and he's rejoicing over us with singing. What? I mean, I can't wait to get to heaven and hear God's song that he has for me, you know? I mean, how cool is that? That God is rejoicing over us with song. That he's so excited about us that he's breaking out in a solo. That's amazing. Man, this is one of those verses that should encourage us tonight on how much our God loves us. And we see that in the cross. That Jesus found joy in the cross, not in the suffering, not in the sin or the punishment for our sin that he was taking, but he found joy in you and me. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, he found joy in us as he took our punishment. Our God is a joyful God. And that's amazing. That we can draw close to him, that we can serve him, that we can love him, that he will be in our midst no matter what is going on. Our God is here. And if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to the Lord, know that Jesus loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. And you're at a crossroads tonight. You have a decision to make. Are you going to give your life to Jesus, or are you going to keep following sin? Sin leads to death. But you have a choice to make, and God gives you the choice. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you have. We have no guarantee of tomorrow, but we have this moment. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a little bit. And maybe your heart's already racing. Maybe you already know, man, I need to give my life to Jesus. He died for me. He loves me. He rose from the grave. And I'm not right with him. But if you're here tonight and you're a believer, you know you've given your life to Jesus. But you're walking in rebellion. You're not walking with the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity as well to make things right, to be restored, to draw close to this God, the God of all creation, of all salvation. The closer to Jesus, the better. It's never enough just to say, well, I'm saved. No, we have Jesus. We have Jesus, and he's here. You don't have to understand everything about him. When I was 5, I didn't understand everything about him. I just knew that he loved me. I knew that he died for me. I knew that I needed a Savior. And that's all I needed. And that's all you need today to start.